This is The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware Peak, here with Tim Henney. Finally, we're joined by Craig Grossi, who tells his story about the time when he was a U.S. Marine and a dog named Fred, who happened to be an odd-looking stray in a remote part of Afghanistan. Craig has written a new book called Craig and Fred, A Marine, A Stray Dog, and How They Rescued Each Other. It's a poignant and inspiring tale of hope, resilience, and optimism. Craig Grossi welcomes now. Welcome to The Mountain Life. Thanks for joining us, Craig.
Oh, thank you so much. It's great to be on the show. It sounds like a really great show.
Well, thank you. We have a good time.
Yeah.
So, you know, speaking of this show, we focus on topics, health and nutrition and fitness and mental health.
Yeah, I love that.
And lifestyle. And, you know, this really is a story about mental health. And it's about how this dog came into your life. And there was this mutual rescue. So just why don't we start there with how Fred came into your life?
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, I was expecting a lot of things, you know, during my time in Afghanistan, and specifically when I found out I was going to Sangin, which is the area of Helmand Province where we were going. It was, at the time, it still is a very volatile and very, very unstable area. And, you know, we were ready for the worst, and that's exactly what we got, you know, at first. But after about a week in the area, we started looking around a little more, and I saw this funny, kind of plucky, scrappy little pup bebopping around the battlefield, you know, and most of the dogs that we saw, you know, unfortunately, you know, you didn't want to get anywhere near. They weren't approachable, and for reasons that, you know, we can all understand. And, but Fred, you know, before he was Fred was just this funny little dog, you know, that we would all kind of smile at. And after about a week, things calmed down a little bit, and I couldn't help myself. I walked over towards him and, you know, with a piece of beef jerky in my hand, and I was going to just see, you know, if he was as friendly as he looked. And I almost turned around, you know, when I got close. He was covered in bugs, and he was clearly been neglected, you know, his whole life, never really had any kind of human interaction. I almost just kind of left him alone, but I took another step or two closer. And when I got close enough, I heard this little noise. I heard this little thump, thump, thump coming from him, and he was wagging his tail. And that, you know, that has been this moment that still, you know, kind of is an example to me. And I hope to our readers, you know, and to people that hear our story, because we travel a lot and I share the story at schools and different events all over the country. And it's that from that moment when he decided to wag his tail, his life has changed, you know, for the better. And it's become the way that he's rescued me right back, is by being an example to me of what is possible when we feel like we have no reason to. We feel like everything around us is dark and harsh and negative, and those are the moments that it's most important for us to wag our tail, so to speak.
And
Fred is an example to all of us of, you know, what your life can look like when you choose to be stubbornly positive. It's what I call it stubborn positivity. That first moment, you know, is really what's really set the tone for our story and for our journey together.
On the cover of the book is a photo of you. You've got a baseball cap with an American flag on it, and Fred is, I mean, he's not a tiny dog, but he's kind of drooped over your shoulders. You've got him on your shoulders, and you know that this dog is no longer infested with those bugs. And so there was this period of time that while dogs are strictly prohibited in the barracks, you and your colleagues, your fellow Marines, hid him out in the barracks, and then you succeeded in getting him back to the U.S. And so that's a story in and of itself.
Right, yeah.
Tell us about that.
His journey home was really improbable. I mean, there's so many ways that it could have gone very wrong for Fred, you know, and for me too, you know, in terms of just being a Marine in a really hostile area. It just it came down to a lot of really incredible people from all walks of life. I mean, we have people from the British military helping us, people from DHL and just all over the place that kind of came out of the woodwork to kind of hide him and kind of get us what we needed. We bent and broke some rules along the way, but it was all worth it to get Fred home. And it was one of those things that when I started writing the book and started sharing the story, I really realized, you know, how crazy it was that we were able to pull it off. And it just made it all the more clear to me that, you know, it wasn't an accident that we were brought together, and that, you know, this is our purpose. This is our duty now to share this story.
Craig, I'm going to ask you a question, and I have to preface it with, I know nothing about this. I'm making some big assumptions here, they're based on what I've read, what I've heard, what I've seen in popular culture. But I'm going to make the assumption that part of the reason you're not supposed to connect with an animal is because it introduces an element of humanity that maybe is counterproductive to the mission of the military and Marines in general. Now, that's the big assumption I'm making. You can correct me on that. But my real question is, if that's somewhat accurate, then why were all these different agencies and people willing to help you with that humanitarian connection between you and your fellow Marines and this dog and break these rules? And, you know, was it inspired by this human element?
Yeah, I think that's a very logical assumption. But I think the real kind of reasoning behind the rule is basic, you know, beans and bullets kind of thing, where if you have a bunch of our troops running up to stray dogs and chances are none of them are going to react. Not all of them are going to react like Fred, and you get people start getting bit and start getting sick. That depletes the troops from their jobs, you know, and from the front lines. And you start having to take people out to get, you know, bandaged up or tested for babies, you know, or vaccinated or something like that. So it's really, I think the reasoning behind the rule is really just from a practical standpoint, and that's, you know, and oftentimes there are gray areas with rules like that, and I'm not the only person that was able to get a dog home, and there's organizations now that weren't around when I found Fred. There's one that I work pretty closely with called the Puppy Rescue Mission, and they'll help you kind of subvert that rule by actually taking ownership of the animal, and they have volunteers all over the world that will help coordinate the proper documentation and everything, you know, to get the animal home. And then they have fosters back here in the States that will take care of it until your deployment's over. So it's really just a kind of a good order and discipline kind of thing. If anything, the leadership probably knows that dogs are good to have around, you know, for morale purposes. I think it's really just, you know, for keeping people, you know, focused on their jobs. But that being said, why people were willing to go above and beyond for this, for Fred, you know, I think it really comes down to, again, like who he is and his attitude, you know, and I know he's a dog, but he has this special little kind of way about him that I think everyone, regardless of where you're from, you know, you can recognize it and you can see it as something that is of value. And I mean, it didn't take long for him to win over, like, even the DHL shipping worker from the Philippines, you know, who you know, didn't even really speak English, but would bring Fred, like, a, you know, and rice every night, you know, when he was sleeping and living with the DHL workers while I was back in the field. Like, there's lots of examples of people just kind of recognizing, you know, that the state that Fred was in and his attitude that he was able and his positivity that he was able to maintain was kind of what we were all there defending in the first place. Just the fact that a dog could be a dog, you know, in a country, you know, that has trouble, you know, just, you know, providing security, you know, for their people. You know, it's rare to see this little scrap of innocence, you know, in a lot of ways. So I think that's, people really want it to be a part of it, and they want it to do whatever they could to help protect it.
And so I have to ask, what did Fred see in you? Have you always been an animal person?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think a lot of people say that Fred and I, you know, we've got a pretty big connection, and lots of people have, you know, fun theories about that. And I think for me, I've always loved dogs, but I didn't have a dog growing up. I begged for one when I was a kid, but I got the classic line from my parents, you know, oh, we're going to end up walking it. You know, my dad would always say, I'm going to end up walking it. I'm going to end up taking care of it. So I never got my own dog. I bought a leash with my own money when I was a kid, and I would walk the neighbor's dogs after school to try and show my parents that, you know, I could handle it, you know, but it just backfired because they were like, oh, he's walking the neighbor's dog. We don't need to get him one. So I think with Fred, I think what he saw in me was just what he was. Because it's hard for me to talk about myself, but I've always been a very positive person. I've always been a very kind of upbeat, and in the Marines we call it PMA, positive mental attitude. And it can be hard to keep that in places like Afghanistan, especially in jobs like the ones we had. But I think it's important. I think it's no matter what, no matter how hard things are, especially as Americans, we have a lot to be grateful for. And that's one of the things that I'm really grateful for, my opportunity to serve and to go to Afghanistan and to see, you know, how these people are living and get to know them. I spent a lot of time with Afghani villagers in Sengen, and I'll never forget any of them. They're just some of the most incredible people who are living really just day to day, not knowing what the next day will bring, but also, you know, just with the biggest heart, and some very serious, you know, work too, that they're just willing to do anything that they can to the betterment of their family. I guess Fred and I were just kind of destined to be brought together because we're both very, very positive souls.
When this story came out, though, it was viral. There were about 50 million views on the initial site that it came out on, which just shows you that how much these stories capture our hearts. And it reminds me also of our winter athletes when the Sochi Olympics were taking place. There were a handful of athletes, some of whom are from, you know, our town here in Park City, who brought dogs home, stray dogs. And there is something about, you know, for those of us who've ever been in, you know, Central American countries where there are a plethora of stray dogs, none of them are friendly. You know, none of them are really approachable. And that's what I can just see your amazement and how much Fred captured you and just had everyone you know, just in love with this dog. It's such a great story.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, no, it's true. Yeah, he continues to impress me. Those first moments, I mean, he was clearly starving. He clearly had never really been fed before. You know, anything he'd ever gotten, he'd really scavenged for. And despite that, when I handed him this piece of jerky, he took it with his front teeth, like just as gently as he could. Like if he had a napkin, he would have wiped his mouth. Like that's how polite he was. You know, and I was, man, even the best behaved dog back home will take a ring off your finger for a piece of jerky. You know, and here this dog is, you know, just maintaining this kind of peaceful, grateful demeanor. It was really, really something to see. Yeah.
The book is Craig and Fred, A Marine, A Stray Dog, and How They Rescued Each Other. And I want to just say, Craig, that, you know, your story is so great because you go back and forth. You intersperse the stories of combat. Some of them are quite detailed, and it shows the trauma that you and your fellow Marines went through. And then you sort of fast forward to the story about you and your buddy who was also a Marine, a vet who lost his leg. And then Fred and this road trip that you do kind of cross country. and I think that's where maybe the talk of PTSD comes in and how important Fred is in the lives, not only your life, but your buddy's life. So how is that? You know, how can you encapsulate how Fred heals PTSD?
Yeah, it for me, PTSD, it'll look different on everyone. You know, regardless if you were in the military or not, like you know, it's one of those things that if you think you have it or if you do have it, it's kind of your job to figure out what it looks like on you. And that took me a long time to figure out. And I'm by no means an authority. I'm just saying what worked for me. And for me, it was this story. And for me, it was really embracing the trauma, embracing those memories. Because for me, those memories, my friends that were killed, my friends that went above and beyond for me, my fellow Marines, that, you know, the fact that I witnessed that and saw them do those things, it was, I felt compelled, you know, to not try and repress and to not try and move past those memories, but to find the purpose and to find the duty within them. And for me, that duty is this story. And so Fred really serves as kind of the gateway to that story and to that trauma and to managing and really turning, you know, PTS into an advantage, something that, you know, I can use instead of just feel like it's a burden. And I think ultimately for people with PTS and especially for veterans, we need to feel a purpose. We need to feel that sense of duty. And it can be hard to find when you take the uniform off, but it doesn't mean that you can't find it. It doesn't mean that regardless of what you do every day for work, if you can still find duty, you can still find your purpose, and you can continue to move forward with that. And that's you know, taken me years to really figure out what mine was. And in many ways we're still searching, but we know what we're searching for at least. So it really, I think Fred just serves as a gateway for me and now for our readers and for people who pick up our book, because we travel the country a lot for speaking events, and I love going to a community's library or a bookstore or a school or wherever we go and looking around the room, and it's people from all walks of life, every generational gap, everything you can imagine in that room, you know, and they're all there because of this dog, because of this story. You know, they picked up our book. You know, and a lot of them might have not have never, ever read a military story or a book about Afghanistan, but they did it because of Fred.
Yeah.
You know, and they're all finding something within our story that I didn't know was in there. There are people who are finding something within our story that they need to hear, you know, and that just makes it all the more clear to me that this is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to share it so people can do, you know, great things with it. It's not up to me what, you know, people take away from it.
Craig Grassi is an 8-year veteran of the U.S. Marine Corps, a recipient of the Purple Heart, and a Georgetown University graduate. His new book is Craig and Fred. Craig, thank you so much for joining us on The Mountain Life.
Oh, you guys.